The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
I think it is unusually difficult. A lot of state visits are quite friendly, quite feel good in the sense that they have lots of photo opportunities and it's a chance to cement already warm relations. But at the moment, the UK and the US have unusually bad relations. People have said it's in the worst state for a century, that the so-called special relationship between Britain and America. And into that, the king is travelling to try to perhaps repair some of that damage. There's a deep well of political hostility, it seems, going from President Trump towards the UK Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer. But it does seem that Trump has maintained a great deal of respect and admiration and also maybe slightly overawed by the monarchy. He seems to still have a great admiration for King Charles and never missed an opportunity to say how much he admires him. So I think that's the card that the government in Britain is playing. It's playing a card saying, here is the man you really admire. And so the job of the king in this is to perhaps warm up that relationship and to sort of do a little bit of a schmooze and get Trump back on side.
We all remember that moment in the Oval Office when Sir Keir Starmer took the invitation out of his pocket and handed it to Trump. And this was literally, if you'll pardon the pun, a Trump card, which he played. And it's now on the table.
Well, that's right. And that was when Trump was coming to the UK. And the state visit from the US, from President Trump to Windsor last autumn, was seen as being quite a success. And certainly there were certain issues around things like Ukraine, where King Charles was seen to have lobbied and pushed Trump into being more supportive of Ukraine, which he seemed to have done. That is only about 7 months ago, but the whole scene is so different now. Since then, there've been all sorts of ups and downs, and the Iran war has been the big one, and Trump's assertion that somehow the UK should have followed the US line, and which they haven't done, has created a lot of tension. And even before that, there was a row over British involvement in Afghanistan, when it was seen that Trump had insulted Britain's army and suggesting that they hadn't been on the front line with the Americans, and that took a sort of a retreat from Trump on that. And also there's stuff like the picture of Trump with the AI-generated picture where he looked a little bit like Jesus with light coming from his palms, which he later said was a doctor. But that is, all that collectively sort of makes a very strange atmosphere, yeah. I think.
And bearing in mind, King Charles is the head of the Church of England. So it makes it doubly uncomfortable to if he's confronted with questions about imagery such as that. What about the pitfalls? I mean, we know his set pieces. There'll be an address to Congress. There'll be a state dinner. He'll make a set piece speech. There'll be a visit to the 9/11 memorial. He'll get to do some nature visiting in Virginia. These are set pieces for him. I wonder how much exposure he will have to those awkward questions and when they might appear.
I think there'll be very little. I think that the visit has been very carefully structured to minimise the opportunity to allow President Trump to go off script. And because I think the last thing they want is him having his freewheeling thoughts on the relationship with Britain. So in practice, the chat between the King and Donald Trump in the White House is going to be private. And the set piece speeches, as you say, are set piece speeches. So in a sense that they're carefully scripted and they're not a sort of open exchange. That being said, I mean, I've talked to quite a few people in the sort of Washington setup who are not unaware that President Trump is his own man. He's not a man given to predictability, and he might insert his own thoughts. He might suddenly say something which isn't in his brief that might set off a whole lot of controversy. So it's one of those things where you know, he's not a man you can hold back when he wants to say something. So there are suggestions he might sort of decide to take hold of the agenda and decide to hold forth. And that would be something which obviously would fill some of the diplomats with dread.
Now, there's a further complication, which I don't think could possibly have been imagined or envisaged when the trip was finally given the OK. And that is that Trump may covet the Falklands.
Well, that was the latest thing. I think I don't know the details. I saw that was from a Reuters story, I think. But it adds, again, it adds more to the sense of questioning that relationship. And, you know, again, who would have thought if we went back 5 or 10 years ago that the state visit from the UK, from the head of state, the king, would be about trying to encourage the Americans that they need to stay in NATO. That would have been seen as madness if you suggested that was even an issue not that long ago. But now that would be a big lobbying point. Stay in NATO. We need you in there because, you know, whatever, American muscle is still the key part of that. And I think we're in unknown territory with that. And again, these things keep popping up. And it also has to be said that in Britain that there is not a lot of support for this trip. And I've seen two opinion polls, both of which show that more people thought it shouldn't go ahead because they're hesitant about the US president and not convinced that this is sort of, we should be maybe perhaps fawning towards him.
Could the king have said no?
It's not for him to say, in the sense that the estate visit is a curious thing. It's a sort of exercise in soft power, but it's carried out on behalf of the government. The government will decide where, when, and whatever these trips are. And so he will be dispatched, and the speech he makes to Congress will have been absolutely carefully scrutinized by the Foreign Office, line by line, word by word, to make sure that it's in keeping with what they want. So he is sent on behalf of the UK. Obviously, he's got his own thoughts as well and his own personality and all the rest of it. But he is essentially sent as a kind of envoy or sort of super ambassador to do this. So whether or not he could say no is a difficult question. But he's not choosing to go there. He's being dispatched.
Now, I've a suspicion that one name will not come up in their conversations, given the king's embarrassment about his brother Andrew and the finger of suspicion constantly being pointed at Donald Trump, and that is the name of Jeffrey Epstein.
Well, that's right, and that name will linger in the background, and to an extent, will haunt this visit. I think it raises all sorts of questions that have still to be answered. But we know that. Relatives of victims of Epstein and also other living survivors have called for meetings with the King and Queen when they're in the US on a state visit. That isn't going to happen because from the royal side, their argument is that any sort of meeting could jeopardise the legal process. And we know that Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor has denied all wrongdoing, but he has been arrested and there is a legal process taking place, and they're very anxious that something could be said that could upset that sort of ongoing legal action. But that won't stop the relatives, I think, giving interviews, holding protests, and being seen and wanting to be part of the conversation. I think that's their big thing. They feel they've been left out. So I think this is their chance to get back into it.
And there was a possibility that the victims and survivors had thought that they might get to meet Queen Camilla because of her interest in domestic violence causes in Britain. But that's not going to happen. But does she have her own agenda? Will she have her own, her own separate royal set of visits? Will she be separated from King Charles, or will they always be together? In other words, might there be an opportunity for someone to get at her in some way?
Well, yes. When on these state visits, they do separate, and they carry out their own engagements, sometimes together, but sometimes separately. And even though it's been made clear that there won't be a meeting with Epstein survivors, Queen Camilla's been very much engaged in campaigning over domestic abuse and campaigning against violence against women, and has spoken up herself about her own sexual assault on her when she was younger. And as we understand it, that there will be meetings with representatives of campaigns. There are lots of quite social events when there's parties and gatherings of people. And I think at one of those, or more than one of those, she will meet people who are campaigning on that subject.
So finally, a trip involving very high stakes indeed. I mean, following the king as you have done, do you think he'll be able to carry it off with aplomb?
I think he is very experienced at this. And I think he's been at this sort of diplomacy for many more decades than most politicians. But I think it is an unusually difficult challenge, not least because he has his own values, which he'll want to defend. He'll also have British government talking points he'll want to raise. He'll have a sort of shopping list of things he'll be expected to mention. And also at the same time, he has to kind of keep President Trump on board too. He has to sweeten him up at the same time. So it's a really unusually difficult challenge. And I think everyone is sort of waiting to see how he'll address it. And also what the reception in America is, the American public. How will it go down? How will it be seen? Will it be seen as saying enough? But I think it'll be a fascinating trip, and probably one of the most complicated that he'll ever have undertaken. Mm-hmm.
And a final point, I mean, he is going to the United States of America. I'm not sure if Harry and Meghan will have returned to their home, but I presume there's no visit to the grandchildren on the cards for the king?
The last we heard was that there was no planned meeting, and nothing so far has suggested that's going to change. But that's another question, again, you know, that another people will be interested in them not meeting up and their own family problems as well. I mean, that's another thing that might have come up if there was a press conference, which of course there won't be.
What a tangled web we weave. Sean Coughlan, BBC News Royal Correspondent. Sean, thank you very much for joining us from Washington.
Thank you very much, Pat, as well.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.